So during the weekend, I usually get some emails from people sharing some experiences. And I got one from a friend that I've got to share with you because it's always exciting to me to hear how people are being transformed away. Which one's God? The purple? Purple. Okay. It's always exciting. I can see why you're cold. This is freezing. This feels like an ice cube. You're going to see a nice example here of how the ego, who believes in himself, creates all of the problems. So if you take an egocentric mind and attach it to a body, it equals hell. And I had a guy ask me about that. That's part of this lesson. But here we're going to read an example of hell expressing itself as the Phantom Man and the realization of this at the same time. An acute little experience here from a girl of mine who I'm going to name her Cookie because I don't want to tell her real name because I didn't ask her permission. But Cookie said, "Mike, I'm a tad behind the live session, so I need to catch up. Meantime, I got it. In Friday night's last 7 minutes, this is what I saw." So she just logged in at the last minute of Friday night, and she's out on the Pacific Coast, so that's pretty early for them, so I can understand that. She said, "Life is perfect and ongoing, and that perfect issue is the only thing I needed to catch on to." And I did. I spent about 12 minutes screaming at the phone company about an increase on a set contract fee. I was putting so much energy was coming out of my rant. It was keeping with my mom's technique, now deceased, of going at customer service abusive style. I'm being my mother's daughter, was using that skill this morning. Yet, at first I noticed I shouldn't be sounding like this. Then I thought, this is fabulous. Life is screeching, and two or three of the clerks even hung up on me. And finally, when I cooperated with clerk number four, I spoke calmly, and guess what? I found out for the last 15 months I had long distance service without even knowing it. I've been using phone cards and cell phone minutes purchased for long distance, but never did I know all the while I was ignorant of having long distance service on my wall phone. I thought, oh, that's it. Life was being abusive. Life was hanging up. Life was redialing. Life calmed down. Life found out about this additional service. Life calculated all that was spent not knowing about the service that was life's all the while. Life's can look like a screwed up tanglement of everything, but life is all there is. And this cookie thing is just a ridiculous ghost and a ridiculous nothing burger. Ha 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 ha. So sick of the cookie thing. I'm a nothing burger. See, I got it. Life is complete and all, and guess what? I don't have anyone to call with this long distance service that I thought I needed so bad. So I can't even rejoice in my cookie style ignorance. I'm not even rejoicing because life doesn't just start rejoicing over some positive wind blowing by. Isn't that something? Boy, that's good right there. See, I got it. From your last 7 minutes of Friday night, signed Cookie. They thought that was cute.
Pretty good.
Huh? Going crazy. The Phantom Man loves to go crazy. And I want to tell you something about the first thing the Phantom Man says is he's not a Phantom Man. The first thing the ego will say is, I don't have an ego. That's what it does. It hides. It's like a secret spirochete, like a disease that when it detects something's after it, it goes and hides and pretends to understand. Because, well, I'm not ignorant. I know truth. I don't want to be have someone see me like I didn't know. And so you'll hear people all the time, they'll say, oh yeah, well, 3 years ago and 30 years ago and 25 years ago, I learned this. I'm going to tell you something. You don't know anything. You know absolutely nothing. The Phantom Man is toast. He doesn't know anything. Whatever he thinks he knows is based on some set of principles that are surrounded about whether it's right or wrong or good or evil. And he'll pretend that he understands truth so he can puff his chest out. I hear it all the time. You know, people will listen to these messages and I go on Facebook and all I see is bitching and complaining. Well, guess what? They don't understand a thing. They don't know anything. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you're talking about a God in any way, in your language, or during your life, or you're promoting some kind of a God in any fashion, you don't know anything. Because it's no different than the Phantom Man. These two are really this, as Dana pointed out. There's never been this. There's just been this. That's pretending to have a life. Now, if you begin to understand this in some way where it starts to speak to you, it's not something you can do, it starts to speak to you like it did with Cookie. I think the most profound thing she said is, I don't have anyone to call with this long distance service I thought I needed, so I can't even rejoice in my ignorance. Because reality isn't boastful. And I'll be honest with you, when truth is speaking to you, it shuts you down. All the questions stop. And I remember going through it and being frustrated because I wanted to ask questions. But I was connected to a person at that time. Even if I sent an email with the question, I never got a response. But you want to know what happened? All the questions disappeared. Mm-hmm. All of them. An answer to it came soon after, on its own. And that's why what I told you yesterday, to just get still and get quiet and ask yourself. Ask yourself. And I promise you, when anxiousness is gone about it, an answer will come. And most of the time, the anxiousness is what's driving it, or arrogance, or ignorance, or whatever. And I know that all sounds bad, but it's just because we're trying to understand something that you can't understand. It can't be understood. It wells up within you. This is something that's always in order. And so having an unanswered question means something's out of order. Well, you're not going to get an answer from this because it doesn't know anything about it, right? It doesn't care about your stupid questions. Now, I'm okay with it, and I've told everybody, especially about personal things, you know, I'll meet with them, and I do. And I try to help people that way. But what I'm saying is, you're the answer. Your real identity is the answer to your questions. Your real identity. And I love hearing these stories about where people are catching themselves in ignorance, ranting. And this girl has written me before about how wild she is, you know. And I just giggle, you know, because crashing and burning is one of the best ways to learn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was taught that back in counseling school, you know, you got to crash and burn. Well, sometimes you go out there with a fire extinguisher and put the fire out too quick. Crashing and burning isn't an experience. It's an understanding that there was never anything there. I'm going to read you a quote that's unbelievable, that talks about the phantom man's life and what it means. And it would be so sad if you didn't discover it until you take your last breath. And that's what Dana was saying this morning. Now's the time to understand this, because that's the only place it exists. If you can't understand it now, you're never going to understand it. There isn't something you have to do to make this reality. It's reality whether you agree with it or not. I really like this. Play-Doh. They've made it a little better. It's not quite as sticky as it used to be. So it's only your mind that causes you trouble. You guys realize that?
Yes.
Huh? It's only your own mind. It doesn't matter what anyone else has said to you or anyone else does to you. How you process that when it comes into you is where the trouble comes from. So somebody could come up, like Phyllis was calling me the scum bum hillbilly this morning, you know? And
only because it's true.
Yeah. She's telling me she was going to dress down today. I said, why would you dress down today? You're going to be around people.
Carry on.
She looks pretty good, right? See, she did her hair up.
Paint
and,
on the barn.
Yeah, I said, put some paint on that damn barn.
He's not telling it exactly like it happened.
I know. I just said it the opposite of what happened.
Carry on.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm just trying to get you stirred up. When you see that your own mind is what's creating all of your problems, right? When you understand this, you can begin to step away and see spontaneous life do its thing. Okay? It's always doing its thing. And you know what? 99% of the time, let's say, just for kicks, that spontaneous life is a bubble, and you're in the bubble, right? And it's surrounding your body. But you know what you're doing all the time? Hitting your head against the bubble. Trying to get outside ahead of where now is. You're banging your head against this. Maybe we should make it granite instead of soft rubber. So you get it. But you're reaching out in front of reality, always trying to figure stuff out. And we don't trust that things are in order. The Phantom Man will never trust that nothing's out of order. Ever. And he's not supposed to. So when you struggle with those things, you've got to realize it's the Phantom Man that's struggling. He's going to fight tooth and nail to exist. Because all that's keeping him alive is a puff of smoke between your ears. So we suffer when we're living out of the mind. That's why we suffer. The false concepts we have of life trap us in passing time. This is so critical to understand. Your belief in passing time is part of the foundation that supports the phantom man's existence. He believes in time. Man created time. But there's no such thing as passing time. It feels that way, it looks that way, but it's not that way. And I want to really define the illusion for you. This out here isn't an illusion at all, okay? Because we've went a little too far with that. It's our judgment of it that's the illusion, okay? That it's right or wrong. That's the illusion. So there's nothing wrong with anything out here, except when the phantom man gets up and starts barking away at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's just standing out there barking his brains out. Woof, 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 woof. Won't shut up. He's like a hound. Just barking away all day and night. That's the phantom man. Realize it. Set yourself free. Your only enemy is yourself. It's your only enemy. Having a history, unfortunately, is very powerful in this realm of duality. Because I think everybody has agreed with me, and I've said it many times, that if I could completely wipe out your memory, you wouldn't have a history. You're still here. I know I have a friend who gets shock therapy. And you know what it does? It fries the memory. And I have nothing at all against that. I think I should run down and get some myself at times. But when you realize, well, I think all of us need it. I think we ought to bring some electrodes in here, and before every session, we just jolt everybody a little bit, you know. So maybe we can hear. Because we bring in a cloudy mess with us everywhere. It's following you around. And you know what it is. Be honest with yourself. There's just this sense that something's not quite right. And there's not peace there. And there's not joy there. And there's anxiousness there. Now listen, I know, I feel it myself. But I know the difference now. So I can shut up and listen to life speak. Yes. To life teach me. To life do its thing. And it's all there is anyway. So just take a deep breath. And just let it all out. It's okay. It doesn't have to be right or wrong anymore. I know this. Myself, really. I still experience it at times. I still get caught up. But right away, life starts speaking to me. It says, shut up, Nevins. Shut the hell up, Nevins. You're surrounded by reality. What's your problem, Nevins? There's always a problem somewhere with Nevins, okay? The phantom man. Always. Huh? So, you call it your last name, okay? Huh? I see a lot of fear and worry and frustration. They all come from this depression created by our expectations. Well, what are expectations? They're just future wishes. Huh? You don't have it. But it creates depression. You know why? You know why you have depression? Because you're not getting what you expect you think you deserve. Mm-hmm. The phantom man thinks he deserves it a certain way. Yeah. And he wants to control it. Okay? So you can only then live out of a sense of future time of reward and punishment, where maybe in the future you might get half of what you expect, if you're lucky. And sometimes it appears like it works, right? But if it doesn't work all the time perfectly, it isn't truth. Truth isn't half-baked. And here we've worshiped this God who sometimes will answer you and sometimes not. And if you go all the way, he's going to fry your ass in hell like a piece of bacon. Okay? You say, well, I don't believe in that God. Well, what God do you believe in? Because if you believe in any God, you believe of a God of reward and punishment on any level. I don't care who you are. You talk in the God game, you're in trouble. Just telling you. Don't look at me. If the God word creeps up, you're in trouble. And that's why it concerns me when I hear it. And it will always concern me when I hear it in people's language. See, if they're talking about a God on any level, they have no idea who they are. No idea. You can be 90% right, and you've got 10% in there that's screwed up. It ruins the whole thing. I'm not playing the God game anymore. It's not any fun. Wanting to control. Wanting to manipulate. There's no future anyways, guys. That's why there's nothing to control. I mean, if you're going to control something, say, okay, well, this is going to happen and I'm going to try to control it. Well, all that language, all that talk is out in the future. This expectation that something bad is going to happen. And you argue with that. Well, it's not really bad, but it's something I want to control. Well, all control is playing the role of God. Okay, and that's what it's all about. If you got a God that's being talked about anywhere, just put the word control in. It's the same thing. They're synonymous with each other. I don't care where you're at or what you're teaching or what you believe in. If you got a God, you got a problem. Okay, a big problem. Because if you got a God, you still got a you. As Dean said when I quoted him yesterday, my God died when my identity died. Because that was my God. That's what produced this figure up in the air that I could control with these whine and cry and prayers or praise. Control them with praise too, right? Connie sent me a post and said, would you go in and look at this? I think you'll like it. And I found one little quote in there that I really liked on that post. And I'm quoting it, and it says, the past and the future are concepts created by the human mind. We never actually experience either because our bodies are always in the present. Isn't that good? The past and future only exist in thought, whereas the present does not exist in thought. I really like that. It's really good. It just lines right up with what we're talking about. Living from the mind isn't life. Right? What is life? Well, this living from the mind isn't life. So that's what it's not. But listen, that's what you are doing. If there's a you, that's what you're doing. You can't help it. And what's happened with me is I sort of start to have these out-of-body experiences. Not literally, but I'm sitting up there saying, Nevins, you're screwed up. Shut up. It's all a puff of smoke anyway. So what's wrong with getting after a puff of smoke? Huh? Noisy puff of smoke, loud puff of smoke. It's like a fireworks, right? Makes a lot of noise sometimes, just like Cookie did on the phone. She wore three people out? Wow. That's a lot of screaming. That had to take, what, at least 10 or 15 minutes to scream three people off the phone. I'm surprised she's not hoarse. Yeah. Listen, guys, this is so, so, so simple. Mm-hmm. It's so simple we miss it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Truth. How simple is it? When I talk to people about just being aware of what is, life is just what is all the time. It's this right now. That's it. It's always life expressing itself. And when you can start to trust that and shut the hell up, there's peace. So that's your own barometer. Start measuring it. If there's frustration or fear, there isn't life there, guys. The phantom man's focusing on his brain, trying to analyze and control things. But the mind right away says, well, there must be a practice or a process to this. And there's not. It's just the end of this. Is this the right clay? Is this the phantom man?
Red.
Red. Red is dead.
No, it's not. Big red. Pink.
So, the mind is always looking for formulas to what? Improve things and change the world.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if the world needs to be changed, it must be all screwed up then, right? Mm-hmm. If it needs change. One of the biggest things, and I used to get up to about a couple thousand views, right? And it's down under right around 700-800 now. Because I started hammering on people. I said, well, let's just pray for peace. Well, all we need is peace. Let's pray for peace in the world. But what they're really doing is judging their world for peace. Because the world screwed up. Nothing that is going on outside of what touches you is any of your damn business. Nothing. Do you hear me? Nothing. Shut up. Turn it off. It's such a waste of time. Such. Well, there ain't no time, so you can't waste time. Energy. I'm serious. It's just smoke and mirrors, guys. It's all smoke and mirrors. It means nothing. It's just, most of the time, it's just arrogance. And when we're blind to that kind of stuff, we're really stuck. Yeah. I mean, you're stuck. If you don't see that, I love that Karen responded back to me, which because she came to the last retreat. And what's crazy is she lives in Idaho Springs, which is where I lived for 10 years. And she moved there. And that's where I based my log home business out of. I used to build these for a living. And I said, what? You're in Idaho Springs? And we're starting to chat. And she's a Denver Bronco fan. Yahoo. I can't hold my leg up high enough for the camera, but.
Bronco shoes.
I just couldn't believe it. And here she wanted to come out to the retreat all the way on a bus with her brother from Colorado. I would just go, wow. But this was the most exciting thing that happened. She told me, she says, Mike, I listen to talk radio during the day all the time, conservative talk radio. And she turned it on after she come back from the retreat and said she couldn't listen to it anymore. Now that's what I'm talking about. I didn't have to tell her she's full of shit, stop listening to it. Something in her just said, this isn't me. This doesn't line up anymore. Now when you can say that to yourself instead of brag about everything you've known over the years and your experience, when you can say that to yourself, you're getting somewhere, okay? Because you're exposing to you this illusion. Well, it's pretty hard when you're in the illusion and promoting the illusion for you to expose the illusion. So guess what? You've got to shut up. And just listen. And just go back to your quiet place and say, wow, what is it that I don't understand? These are the kinds of questions I've asked myself. I'm telling you, every time, this has been going on now for years for me, I get an answer. And I know it's not coming from my mind because I could have never dreamed it up in 1,000 years. That's why I trust it. And it always brought peace to me and quietness and patience and kindness and all those things. Just came flowing on their own. It wasn't something I was trying to do. Just like with Karen. She just said, I turned it on and I just, it, all of a sudden it was totally disgusting. Yay, Karen. It's so simple. So while the mind is trying to look for formulas to improve things and change the world, they don't realize that there's absolutely no process to become what already is. It's already everything all the time. How can everything all the time ever not be everything all the time? The only difficulty there is when the phantom man begins to judge everything all the time. That's the only difficulty, based on its egocentric values of their world. And it's you'll come to the place where you'll be like Karen. You'll say, that's disgusting. You'll correct yourself. You need somebody to get after you. Now, doesn't it make sense that everything all the time can't have a process? Huh? Amen. How simple can it be to understand that there's never anything to look for? See, this blows your mind, doesn't it? Huh? There's nothing to find. There's nothing to look for because it's everything all the time. That's a mind blower. There's no process. There's no plan. That's another mind blower. Can we really trust that everything's in order all the time without my influence? Huh? Without my shut the hell up Nevins? Trying to stick his nose in everything? It is tiring. It's because it's hell. It's the realization that never comes and never goes away. Whew. Was that magical or what? Huh? It doesn't come from somewhere because it's everywhere. It can't go anywhere because it's everywhere. Life is everything all the time. It's all in all. All's all, right? I think. Last time I checked. And it's all in all. You got two alls. So you can't escape that. What's the best advice I could give you? Shut up. Ask yourself. What's my problem? It hides so much. This phantom man's wearing his mask, and it so much hides on the peripheral that the real cause of the turmoil isn't even being dealt with and being known. That's why people will brag about themselves. I've known I've known Truth 1978. And, well, big deal. What's going on now? Huh? Who cares? Bragging about their ego. Oh, they've some truth wizard. I'll tell you, the best thing I ever found out is I don't know shit. So I could listen. So I could hear. And know when this stuff comes now, I'm telling you, I'm 100% convinced it has nothing to do with me. It's that wonderful. How could saying there's absolutely nothing to look for ever come from the human mind? It's impossible. There's nothing to look for. You're already it. This is toast. This is toast. Neither one of these exists in any detail whatsoever, because they're both the same, an illusion. We could make this one color. As long as you've got a God, you've still got an ego you're struggling with. And you just are in deception to the fact that it's working. You just won't believe it because your ego can't handle dying. The ego doesn't want to die because he thinks he's somebody that knows truth. So the real key is letting go of this inner voice that's always trying to tell you something's wrong. And you need to be this or that, or something's missing. Look, there's a lot of crying going on out there. And if you're crying about something, it's screwed up, isn't it? How could anything ever be missing if life is everything all the time, complete and whole? The only place it's missing is in this picture we've painted with our mind of right and wrong. The Phantom Man loves to paint, and sometimes it can look pretty nice, right? But the judgment of good is way, way, way harder to see than the judgment of evil. Because all the church is doing and religion is doing is setting themselves up against the judgment of evil. They only read half the story. The tree said good and evil. And the good's the hard part to see. Because somehow we think that's life. And so we're always measuring the barometer based on how good we feel or how well things are going. Listen, as long as you're looking at life, this is completely and totally chaotic. There's no plan. And nothing that's happening to you was meant for you, because it's not you that it's being directed at. It's just life. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it, because it's not about you. There is no you. And when you get to the root of this, your God will start to fall. And what concerns me is people say they're humble and they don't believe in the identity, but then they have a God. And I know better. I sniff that God stuff out. And if you want the best God sniffer I've ever been around, it's Dean Dosher and Bruce Harbert. They're God sniffers. And they expose his ass all the time. So go on there and just try reading it. If it offends you, just remember it's the Phantom Man, okay? Tell him to shut the hell up and read it anyway, okay? Just go in there and get a good dose of it and just shut the hell up and listen to some wisdom, all right? It's my prescription I'm writing to everybody. Don't sit there and say you understand it, because I know you don't. You've got to... It took me 2 months of reading that day and night to start to understand the language, because it was so foreign to me. But it wasn't till I went through that experience that my God died. But it shook me to the root when he said, God was the serpent that deceived Eve. I just about shit my pants. I go, what did you just say? That's a mouthful, isn't it? It is the truth. Well, we're going to whip out our Bible now and prove it wrong. So I wrote on Facebook, all problems and suffering begin and end with the mind. The mind tries to solve these non-existent problems which it has invented based on belief systems which are not true. Now talk about a mess. Huh? Is that a big mess or what? I'm going to read that again. All problems and suffering begin and end with the mind. The mind tries to solve these non-existent problems which it has invented based on belief systems which are not true. Now how are you going to weave yourself out of that in any way with more questions? It's not going to happen. You got to shut up and get out your 12-gauge widespread shotgun, cut the barrel off, and get it all. And just listen. And just realize you don't know anything. You stand around and say, I knew truth, and I understood truth, and all that's just the ego bragging. It's just the phantom man, still not dead yet, trying to prove he knows something. Well, how long does it take a man to know he doesn't know anything? That's what Einstein said. That's when wisdom can begin. When a man finally wakes up and realizes he doesn't know anything. And guess what? Life will start to talk. And it's amazing. Amazing, the revelation and truth that come out of it, because it sets you free. It slays the phantom man, and guess what? It isn't a one-time experience, boys and girls, huh? I remember when my phantom man got slain in 1978. It was hell. Well, guess what? He isn't dead yet, because the phantom man's bragging about the time he was half slain. Okay. This is a perpetual understanding that's beyond the mind. You can't figure this out. It isn't something that happens to you, your phantom man. Okay? That's the part we just don't understand. We're still trying to work it over with our ego. Okay? Just shut up and listen. And start to realize this place of peace and rest doesn't have any problems to deal with. It doesn't have any issues it's sad about. It doesn't have any worries over dripping water. Sorry, Diane. I know that's simple, but we're sitting here watching a football game and water's running everywhere. And it upsets her because I don't get upset about it. So we can clean it up. I mean, we're not running around turning all the faucets on now so they can all run over just to test ourselves. I mean, we're not doing that. A guy that works for me, has worked for me for 7 years, was up at our office. And our showroom is all glass. It's 100% glass. And we wanted to get the windows clean before it got too cold. Well, he got over there and jerked the bucket on the lift the wrong way, snapped a couple pieces of glass. Just like that. He come in my office. He was in my office within 5 minutes. Got that machine down, ran all the way around and come up because he knew where the problem was going to end with me. And he was just shaking. He was so upset that he broke that glass. And he thought I was just going to jump all over him. And I said, well, if I was going to jump all over you, I should have done it right before you broke it. I said, it doesn't do any good now. It's all done. I said, so go do this and this and this. But it took him the rest of the day just to calm down from the anxiousness of all that. And I didn't chew him out. He's a good guy, you know. But it just shook him all up. It's going to be about a $2,000 fix. So, I mean, it's not cheap. Just because it's behind a mansard that we're going to have to tear apart just to get to it. So it's probably the last one you should have broke. If you're going to break one, should have broke one out in front. But he's just shaking his head, you know, tearing himself up. When this dream of separation that we have, and that's the dream of separation, is maintained through abstract thought. Now, what is abstract thought? Thought about everything around you. The only way out of the dream is to realize that these The only way around the way out of the dream is to realize that the abstract thoughts are not yours. All these thoughts that come to you, you don't own them. You don't create them. Now that's a shocker. I said that, I squeaked that in at the last meeting last time. And I want to squeak it in again a little bit. You are not the creator of your thoughts. Despite popular demand. Because God says otherwise. God says you're responsible for your thoughts. You want this guy gone, I'm telling you. He's tough. Okay? Whichever one it is, they're both God. And they're both you. Okay? You want it gone. I'm telling you, you want it to die because it is tormenting your ass. It's where it all comes from. Me, myself, and I. I know. I remember we was building this house once. And I'm not a guy that gets real upset very often. But I had reached a little boiling point like Cookie did with the phone guy one day. And Diane and Ron were sitting out there in the kitchen. And I just went up, punched my fist through the drywall. I was just so frustrated. Because nothing that day was going anywhere. Just seemed like we kept going backwards all the time. And here I got people standing around that aren't helping me. And it just blew my cork. So it happens to me. And all it is just a big ego party. I wanted my way, you know. And I hurt my fist over the thing, you know. It was all bruised up. Humility will admit it, okay? The phantom man will always try to come up with some reason why they did it. Well, you did this, or I was potty trained too late. Something. So this thought that's coming to you, you're not inventing it. You're not the source and creator of it. So guess what? You don't have to claim it. You don't have to let that judge you. Whatever it is. And I mean, I have some wild, crazy, twisted up dreams. Last night I dreamed, it was just a short one, that all of a sudden I had this drafting table and I used to draw by hand. So I have some old drafting tables that were all by hand. These were real old ones. It was cast iron. It had dials on it, and you had to tip it and raise it up and down and wing the thing tight, you know, to get it. And then it had this long drawbar on strings that went up and down. And when I was drawing, I'd have to pick it up and place it so it wouldn't smear the pencilette all over the drawing. That's when I started. That was my very first drafting table. Well, somehow in this dream, the drafting table was three times bigger than that, and all of a sudden it was power-operated. And my brother over there, who's always been my nemesis, was pushing the button. So it got so big, it started to bend and was going to break. And I was, how, don't break my drafting table. I was screaming at him right when I woke right up, right when I was screaming at him. I remember it just happened last night. Well, I didn't even have a drafting table like that that could be broke. So what's the big deal? I don't have to put some vast meaning to this thing and think there's something screwed up or I'm going to go around busting drafting tables now. But all of it's meaningless unless you give it meaning. If your mind wants to give it meaning, then you have to live with that. But you can also just let it go and realize it's meaningless. Huh? Can't you? Don't tie into it. Don't hook into it. You don't own them. The brain does stuff. I mean, I haven't figured that thing out, believe me. Until I started putting lavender on every night, my dreams were so intense that I just felt like it was interfering with my rest, you know. I started putting lavender on, and I know I'm still dreaming, but it's pretty much gone within a couple minutes of when I wake up now, so I don't, like, have this dream that follows me around for 2 days that's weird. So I'm thankful for lavender, by the way. There's a pointer for you if any of you have crazy dreams. Put lavender under your ears and on your temple before you go to bed. You put a little bit on the roof of your mouth, and it will calm your dreams down. It's working for me, and this is what I had asked, and they said this will help you. So anyways, don't own your own thoughts. Don't think you created them. You're not the creator of anything. Life is always everything all the time. It's all coming from life, and you're not life. Life is you. You understand? It's the other way around. Life is expressing itself as you, and you have no control over it at all. Absolutely no control. So when this is seen, a realization can take place and you just don't hook into them anymore. Don't try to give it meaning. I mean, I'm not saying I've never had a dream that didn't have some significance. But I think it's happened once or twice in my lifetime. And it was pretty profound. So question. Here comes a guy, sends me an email. He says, "Hi, Mike. I'm listening to your talk Friday night. And would you say that the mind we have been given is hell?" Now, I wouldn't say the mind is hell, but I will say that the mind is what creates hell. Okay? Now, what is it? These belief systems where expectations are connected to them that present this dream or this picture of how things should be. That's the only place you can have any trouble, is somehow the picture you've painted for yourself isn't happening. And bitching and complaining starts taking over. Well, bless God, we live in America. You got to stand up for the flag. Well, I'm not going to give you my personal disposé on that because it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't care what any of you do. You can come to me and I can tell you right now, whatever you're doing or not doing, I'm not going to judge you for either one of them. If you come to me for help, I'm just going to want to help you. I'm just going to try to help you find that place where you're stuck. That's all. And I won't know till we start talking, but I'm telling you right now, I've been doing this long enough, I can figure out where you're stuck pretty damn quick. It don't take long to figure it out. It usually ends up with me, my, I. Just like Ricky Ricardo and Lucy. I. That's usually where it begins. Somewhere I've got a problem with something. Somewhere. It's sniffing. Now, here we are back to Nisargadatta Maharaji. Wow. Any of you read I Am That or have attempted to?
It's my next thing to order.
Well, it's free.
Word.
You just do a search and you can get it free in a PDF and print it out. It's 130 pages. But listen, if you got that, you could read it on and off for 2 years, because that's what I did before I finally realized I got it. But when you see the wisdom just in a couple sentences here, you could ponder over this for days. Just this one phrase. He says, it is the mind that tells you that the mind is there. Don't be deceived. All the endless arguments about the mind are produced by the mind itself for its own protection, continuation, and expansion. It is the blank refusal to consider the convulsions of the mind that can take you beyond it. So realize that the mind is just a conglomeration of thoughts and beliefs. It's not you. You can have some crazy things go on and march across the sky in your mind. Just say, sayonara. And this is when you sort of start talking to yourself. You say, you're crazy, Nevins. You think that's you? You think that's real? Just shut the hell up. Probably the thing I've said the most is just shut the hell up. More than anything. But we possess and own these thoughts and think we've created them. So how long ago weren't you told that there's something wrong with you? Because you might have a twisted thought. There is no you that there's something wrong with. There's salvation right there. That's salvation. Is that there is no you. That these no longer exist. And when you die, your God will be shortly thereafter. And that's why I'm shocked when I hear still people flirting with the idea of God, because I know they're still living in duality. And they're suffering. And if I love you, I don't want you to suffer, okay? In the realization of this presence, this life, you have to embrace a death. And what dies is all our expectations, judgment, and effort to become something. All there is this. There's nothing to become. How simple is that? Huh? Everything is in perfect order right now. There isn't something you need to do or can do to make it better. That's the illusion. Everything's in perfect order right now, no matter where you're at. I know somebody who loves this message is Robert Rutherford. Because, I mean, he doesn't have too many people that are friends with his. He's not super popular from a community standpoint, okay? Because he's in love with the boy. And I've never been around a more loving family and a more enjoyable place in my life. I've lived in their home with them. I've been down there. I've stayed with them a couple different times. And there's no more love anywhere. And it doesn't matter to me what someone does, okay, or doesn't do. See, and the religious mind can't handle that. But guess what? 90% of the time, it's always about what someone else is doing. Just shut up and look at your own log you're carrying around in your eye. I read the other day on Facebook, the other time, it says, well, whatever you're complaining about, you probably did it once. So shut the hell up. You just forgot. So in the realization of this presence, life is always presence, all the time. It's not based on time, okay? It's this presence. That's what you are, is this presence that's never, ever troubled. So when trouble comes, hello, what's going on? If trouble comes, where's it coming from, folks? Thank you. I see that hand. The mind, your own mind, not someone else's mind. Hello? Yeah. Quit blaming someone else's mind. It's your own mind. It's the only thing that can cause you trouble. I don't care what it is. I'll sit down with you and prove this to you. I'll tie you up in knots because I know this. Because I've experienced it and dealt with it myself, with my own mind. He's a son of a bitch. And I call him out. And it's fun when you don't have to yell at him so much anymore. Mm-hmm. So in the realization of this presence we call life, we embrace death. And what dies is our expectations and judgment and effort to become something. There's nothing to become. There's no place to go. There's nothing you have to do. Now, you'll do a lot of things, but now you'll see that spontaneous life is directing it. And you can follow along and whistle a little bit maybe now and then. Huh? When you sense that. No matter what, no matter whether it seems hard or not. Because whenever it seems hard, we cry and think something's wrong. Well, nothing's wrong when it's hard. It's just life, living. Okay? Doesn't mean things have to change. But when you're stinking thinking can begin to change, life can begin to express itself, and you can begin to enjoy it and see it yourself. And that's what's real. And it doesn't have a God. When we really understand this to the ultimate level, is that there is no you that can die, then we've experienced death. When you understand that there's no you that can die, then you've experienced death. Because this goes up in a puff of smoke. There was nothing there anyway. There was never anything there to begin with. It was all smoke and mirrors. Playing a game, playing a role, pretending to be somebody you're not. It's not fun. And Dean says, I've played the God game. It gave me no rest. Love gave me rest from a God of every man's mind. Do you have a God? Do you get upset when somebody says you shouldn't be talking about God? Huh? I know somebody who did. Well, people get upset when you say the word God. Well, because it's an illusion. Hello? That's why. Because it means your ego is still kicking and you don't even know it. That's why. I don't want somebody to say to me, well, Mike says there is no God. Well, what do you say? I don't give a crap what I've said. It doesn't do you any good to quote me. What do you say? If you still got a God at any level, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, you're still a Christian. You're still religious at any level. Go play the Christian game. If that's what you want to do, I'm fine with that. It's all right. Now here we're back to Nisargadatta Maharaji. It took me a long time to figure out how to pronounce that. I had to look it up and practice it. Nisargadatta Maharaji. That sounds cool, doesn't it? Man, I think they just called him NM for short. That's a good one to have an abbreviation for. This is really, really important to know. You're not your body, okay? You're not your mind, thank heaven.
Yeah.
You're not your mind. You don't own it. You don't own this body. You are life. Never ending, never had a beginning, never had an end. What's wonderful about all this is you don't have to figure it out because you can't. And I said that, but I loved how Dana kept saying that over and over and over again. Don't try to figure it out. Because the Phantom Man wants to try to figure it out. So he can come up with a plan that sort of looks like the real deal. But it is in the duck, okay? It quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, but it ain't no duck. And those of you who are walking on the fence, because that's what I want to entitle this message, but I said, well, living from the mind's the same thing. Those of you who are walking on the fence and playing the God game, there's several ways to play the God game. Just talking about God, talking about what you don't like in the world, complaining about this, being upset about that, crying over this, crying over that. That's all the ego, the Phantom Man, playing the God game. That's what it is. But here, Nisargadatta says, what was there before the body came into being? Only that may remain after the disappearance of the body and the elements. And before that body is gone, on that final day, even the memory of existence during the prior period will disappear. So whatever happens between appearance and disappearance of the body is only a bundle of memories. Whatever you have accumulated is merely entertainment. And that, all that is in memory, and everything will disappear. Now, if you really accept this, you will not care whether this body remains or goes. I'm going to say that again because there's a couple things I want to talk about in there that I think are crucial. What was there before the body came into being? Only that itself may remain after the disappearance of the body and the elements. And before the body is gone, on that final day. Now, when's the final day? When's the last trump? Right now. It's not something in the future. It can't be. The final day is when you realize you're not real. This person you think you are is a phantom. That's the final day. And you were never, ever real to begin with. And this is describing it. Before the body is gone on that final day, even the memory of existence during the prior period will disappear. Well, has life gone anywhere? Has life changed? So whatever happens between the appearance and disappearance of the body is only a bundle of memories. Well, how sad is that for the Phantom Man? He doesn't like that. You mean my life doesn't mean anything? No, I'm saying you've never had a life. You don't own life. Life is all there is. Nobody owns it. You can't possess life. You can't possess something that's all in all. It already is everything all the time, whether you think you possess it or not. So it doesn't matter what you think about it. All that is in the memory and everything will disappear. Now, if you really accept this, you will not care whether this body remains or goes. I've never read anything more beautiful than that, and more profound and absolute as that. So that's all for this weekend. I want to thank everybody for watching in. Christina, you're wonderful in New Zealand. She's always chiming in. I think she got up at 4 a.m. to watch one of them because she likes watching it live. You know, here she is clear over in New Zealand near Auckland. And we got some people in Africa, the Gaffas. Hello. Some of you around the country, Gabriel, Nancy, Linda, Karen, Gary, Carol. We love you guys.
Love you.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.